It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. It's wonderful to be able to come together and study the precious Word of God. And we're in the book of Jonah, and so Jonah chapter 1, if you would love to, can turn to that. We had gotten down through the third verse, but we'll begin with verse 1. Jonah chapter 1, wonderful study. I hope that you're able to enjoy it with us today. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's parkviewbiblechurch.org. It's just parkviewbiblechurch.org, and I hope that you can find that and enjoy it. We have many studies. We have the plan of salvation. We have our constitution there. So please that you would search it out, find it, and enjoy the studies that we have. It's for your to bring you to salvation to begin with, and then next to help you to grow. And so please, I hope that it is a help for you. And if you'd like to email us, it'd be parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Now, I hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles, find the little book of Jonah, but it is a powerful book, and I hope that you enjoy it. And so please follow me now as we begin reading with Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship unto the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his own fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. For what is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? Of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And so please, let's go to the Lord in prayer now after reading down through the 11th verse of the first chapter of Jonah. Father, we thank you and praise you for the day that you've given us. It's such a joy to walk each day and be born again, be saved. So many, Father, have left those precious words. They do not see the need of salvation. They do not see the need to be born again. They just see the need of being religious, or in so many cases today, of not even being religious, of nothing to do with the Creator of the world and the Savior of the world. And we pray, Father, that this study that we have will reach those folks, that they will hear the precious word, your word, and your spirit through your word will convict their hearts and bring them to the place of salvation. So please, dear Lord, I just ask that you would just touch every heart, that everyone that's listening will know you as their Savior and know you as their Lord and enjoy this life every day, no matter what the circumstances or what the situation. So please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we start here, and we have talked about a couple of things in the past. Number one, the word Jonah means dove, and the word Amittai is the son of Amittai, means truth. He was called of God to arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And then we kind of find ourselves in trouble, because now we see that as the Lord has given Jonah these directions, again, arise, you know, maybe give us the thought that he was sitting down or even laying down or sleeping. There is no time. To get a little time of rest is wonderful, but then we need to get right back to work again. To come to church and just sit in that pew and do nothing is not the way God had intended it. We are to be busy in His service and doing His will continually. And so please that you will listen very carefully and hopefully realize that, hey, I need to stop this just sitting around. He called Jonah. Well, when he called Jonah, it doesn't appear like Jonah was quite ready to go. That's the problem. If we are studied up, prayed up, ready to go, when God calls, we go. But if we're not, if we're kind of relaxed and resting and God calls us to do something, and if we're kind of half asleep, why, you know, it takes a little while to get woke up. And it seems like that maybe Jonah was in that same condition. He needed to be awakened, and he was awakened of the Lord. Arise, go to Nineveh. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. We're not sure how that came, if it was an audible voice, if it was a messenger in the fashion of a man that was an angel. We're not sure how this message came to Jonah. But however it arrived, it came with clarity. And he knew exactly what he was supposed to do, but that's not what he did. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now, there's a lot of reasons, and we're going to talk about that in the future here. Nineveh was a Gentile city. We know that Jonah was a Jew. And so Jonah was a prophet. Jonah was one that had served the Lord, I believe. I believe he had taken the word of God. We have looked at other scripture verses that confirm that the word of it came from the Lord through Jonah, the prophet, the son of Amittai. And so we have those words in other areas of scripture. So we know that he has not been this lazy prophet that it appears to see here. But when he was called to go to the Gentiles, to Nineveh, that was a problem. Again, prior to this, he may have always ministered, you know, through and to the Jews and those that concerned the Jews. And so, some of the scripture verses that we've looked at, we have enjoyed seeing those verses of scripture. And I know we were looking at the last time was with 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25, when it come to Jeroboam. And so we see his ministering, we see his work, but here we find that, was he old and just tired? You know, folks today, why, when they get to be about a certain age, why, they decide that, hey, it's time for me to retire and it's somebody else's turn. It's never somebody else's turn. We should continue to serve the Lord and work for the Lord until our last breath is taken. So we're not sure some of these things here, but we know the call came, the call was correct, the call was clear, and the direction was clear, go to Nineveh. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And so just very quickly and review once again, we find that these things are constant. Every time that the disobedience comes, we are always going down. And until one returns to the Lord, he will continue to go down. You don't just stay kind of on a plateau. Okay, I'm not going to serve the Lord, but I'm not going to turn away completely from the Lord. No, you can't do that. You will continually be on the downward fall until you return to the Lord and ask him to forgive you and set you on the way, on the path that he wants you to go on. And so we find that here. The path of disobedience is always down. Why did Jonah even think that he could run away from the Lord? I've got some scripture verses back in Psalms that are just beautiful verses of scripture. 139, Psalms 139. And they're verse 7 through 12. And just listen very carefully. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uppermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be the light above me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. And the area of scripture here where it says down in hell, well, that word is actually Sheol, which means the center of the earth. And until the Lord Jesus Christ finished the work on Calvary and went home to be with the Father in heaven, everyone that died in Christ, trusting in the coming Messiah, everyone that died in Christ went to the place of Sheol, to the center of the earth. And we have an example there with Abraham and with Lazarus and the rich man, if you'll remember, the great gulf fixed between. And so that's the reference there. It's not that he would go to the fires of hell if you go there, because he won't. You're completely separated from him at that point. But in the center of the earth. And so when you see that, but no matter where, the psalmist saying, you will be there. And so we look at those verses of scripture. Now we come to verse 4, and again, remember that third verse, down, cost you, paid the fare. There's always a cost when you turn and do not listen unto the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship unto the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. What a sad, sad statement here. You know, verse 3, we have the word but Jonah rose up to flee. And so we find now in verse 4, but the Lord sent a great wind. So you see Jonah's excuse, his but arose up to flee, was not as powerful as the Lord sent out a great wind. And so the Lord always overrules, and we see that right here in these two verses. When God tells his children to do something, there is no ifs or buts about it. God answered Jonah's but with God's, and he And this verse that follows here tells us that. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. So no matter what Jonah was trying to do, the Lord stopped him. And it was in the process of turning him around. There are two ways to accomplish the will of God. One, you receive the blessings of it, the joy of it, and that is by willingly submitting. So when he calls you, we willingly submit to his way. The other is painful constraints, as one man called it. And so we will do it, but we don't like it, and we will do it, but we're not going to get any blessings out of it. It's nothing to our account or our credit. And so which would you rather do, since you've got to do it anyway? That's kind of the thing, same thing we're talking about Jonah here. Because you see, in the end, he went. No matter where he went, God followed him. God sent out a great wind. Even though up here he was called, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Direct, very, very clear, very specific instructions. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea. So you see, even though from the time that he arose and was told to go to Nineveh, but he fled unto Tarshish and then to Joppa, and then he fled to flee unto Tarshish, and then he went by means of Joppa to go there. And again, when he got down there, he had to pay the fare. And so we find that the Lord is in all of this, whether Jonah is going the right direction or the wrong direction. Now, if he went the right direction and headed for Nineveh, he would have had nothing but the blessings of the Lord upon him and with him. But instead of that, he chose to go against the word of the Lord. And by going against the word of the Lord here, it didn't mean that the Lord left him. He was trying to run away from the Lord, but the Lord was still there, and he sent a great wind, the scripture tells us here in verse 4. Now, something else is going on here, because not only did he go down, 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 not only was he, it cost him, he paid the fare, but also we find now that with this great storm coming up on him, that we find other people are involved. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. And so we find now that with Jonah's running away, he has put other folks in jeopardy. He has jeopardized the lives of these sailors. They were doing their job. They weren't running away from the Lord. They were doing their job, and that job was to deliver these goods. But that's not going to happen now, because they have cast these goods over the side because of the terrible storm that was there. Now let's take a look to see what Jonah's doing during this time. The mariners, the sailors, they were scared to death, cried every man to his God. You see, even though you don't believe in the true God, everyone believes in a God, whether it's the God of nature whatever it is. Everyone, you know, the sun or the moon or the stars, you know, everybody believes in a God. But there is only one true God, and that is Jehovah. We need to trust in the true God and the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you believe in any else, it will do nothing for you. Now we find here that they prayed unto their gods, as the scripture says. And the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. So they cried unto their God. But you know what? Their God didn't hear them, because their God is as stone or as nothing, of earthen vessel, of wood. It's something that they pray to, but it is powerless. And the only time they think that there is any value in it is strictly as superstition. There is no special power here that comes with them, none whatsoever. The devil has great powers, and sometimes he will use some of those powers to express his way and his power and his strength through someone or something. But here, because it was an example of God's power and strength, there was nothing. They heard nothing. And so it comes now to, and again, then they, even worse than thinking they were going to die and not being able to do their job because of Jonah, they also now threw everything overboard. Everything that wasn't attached, they threw overboard, trying to lighten the ship so that it didn't sink. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. But Jonah... You know, we find up here, but Jonah fled up, rose up to flee. Verse 4, but the Lord sent a great wind into the sea. And now down here in the middle of verse 5, but Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Isn't it sad that the world is going to hell right now, and not to Sheol, but to hell? And got a couple verses of scripture here that we can look up to help you understand that. And if you don't believe in a hell, you will. If you don't believe in a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is the only Savior, you will. And so I'm just giving you a heads up here that there's going to be a point in time in your life, and it will probably possibly be after this life, when you leave this and on to the next one, you will be a believer. But it's going to be too late, because you're going to be taken, bound, and thrown into to hell, to the place of torment, until the final day, and then you'll be taken and thrown into the lake of fire. And so that's your destination. That's your destiny if you do not come by faith to Jesus. And you say, hey, Larry, I do not believe it. I don't believe that there is such a thing as a God and a Savior, and that we need to do anything with it. Or I believe in the Lord Jesus, but this having a personal relationship and asking the Lord Jesus to come into my heart to save me, that I may be born again and then be eternally saved. I don't believe that. I don't think it's necessary. Well, you will. You will. There's going to be a time that your mind is going to be opened up to the point that you're going to understand that salvation was a free gift and you rejected it. That free gift of salvation came through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and you rejected Him. And so there's going to be a day that you're going to realize that, understand that, but that day when it comes, it's going to be too late for you, and you're going to be cast into the place of torment and then awaiting the lake of fire. Revelation 20:10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. We also have another verse of scripture in 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There is other scripture tells us that where the worm never dies, never dies. And see, you don't ever die. You're going to there's a resurrection of the body for the believer. That's going to take place at the rapture, which I believe is soon to come. But for the lost person, there is a resurrection as well, but it is at the end of the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ. So right now we're in the church age. It will end with the rapture of the church. The tribulation will begin. It lasts 7 years, and there's going to be a thousand-year reign of Christ at the close of that 7-year tribulation. And then once that is finished, then at the end of that 1,000 years, there will be a judgment held. Now, the decision's already made. You're in a place of torment, and the believers are already in the presence of the Lord. But you're in the place of torment, awaiting to come before a righteous God, stand before Him, and being condemned to the lake of fire for eternity, and always dying, but never dying. In other words, you will never, ever stop being in pain, because you have done one thing, and that is rejected that free gift of salvation. And so when we find back here with Jonah that he has no concern for the people of Nineveh. Jonah has no concern for the other sailors, these mariners that are on this ship, that their lives are in jeopardy because of this storm. Whether the storm was brought on by Jonah because of disobedience, which we know it was, but even if it wasn't, where was Jonah's heart being concerned for these people that could go off into eternity without ever knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? Where was Jonah's heart? Jonah didn't care. Jonah wasn't concerned. And the sad thing is that that's exactly the position that the church is in today. We sit back. We enjoy our lives and enjoy the goodness of this life. And we, especially in this country, in this land, and we have so much, and we just kind of leisurely sit back, and we're paying no attention to all those around us that are going straight to hell, straight to the place of torment. And again, when it says Sheol, that word Sheol takes on two sides, Abraham's bosom or paradise, or the place of death, but again, dying, but never death comes. It would be better if death would come. Maybe it'd be over, but it won't. It'll never be over. As our joy and rejoicing in heaven with the Lord is so wonderful and powerful, so powerful and so awful will be those that choose to reject the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so that's what we have here in this fifth verse. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and lay and was fast asleep. Did not care anything for those sailors. Didn't care anything that that city, that great city, as the scripture calls it here in verse 2 of Nineveh, was going to face the judgment of God. And God wanted Jonah to go cry against them, awaken them, show them who and what's going on here, save them. And instead of that, he thought, they're, you know, to a Jew, a Gentile was a pig. I'm not going to go talk to those people. And so he takes off, and not only does he leave, and you think, well, he'd be looking over his shoulder thinking, okay, what's God going to do here to get my attention? What's he going to do to get my attention? But instead of that, he wasn't the least bit concerned. He was fast asleep down in the hold of that ship. Once again, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares to lighten the ship into the sea. Cast the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and lay and was fast asleep. We're going to start the next time with the shipmaster coming to speak to him. And you see, it's a sad thing when a lost person has to come and awaken a saved person to get to work. And I guess I'm going to ask, number one, do you know Jesus? Number two, do you need to be awakened to get into service to the Lord? My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?